If there really is a Bigfoot, and no, this episode is not about Bigfoot, we'll know in the years to come. The reason I say that is the ever-increasing proliferation of game cameras, or trail cameras, or whatever you choose to call them. I'm talking about remote cameras that you set to capture images when no one's around. As with other technological gadgets, these types of cameras continue to get better and better and less expensive, making them an item more readily available to the masses. They certainly have a lot of uses, but three in particular come to mind: as a scientific tool, as a home or business security tool, and as a way for hunters to scout areas they plan to hunt ahead of actually hunting. It's the last one that seems to get the lion's share of attention, as far as consumers are concerned. At Togiak Refuge, game cameras are very much a vital tool used by our biologists to monitor animal populations on remote parts of the refuge, which, when you think about it, is pretty much the whole refuge. Such monitoring would be exceedingly difficult to impossible to do without the use of such technology. But this episode isn't about game cameras either, though their use factors into today's topic. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Today's episode is actually about mountain lions. You'll not hear me say this often, but mountain lions are something both Alaska and my home state of Kansas have in common, in a manner of speaking. I say that for this reason. The species is known to cross over into each state, but is not thought to be a resident species. In the case of both states, mountain lion sightings seem to pop up periodically, but actual lions, dead ones, irrespective of the cause of death, aren't something that's found much at all. What got me to thinking about mountain lions is an article I saw online this week about a dead one that did turn up in Kansas. Approximately a half hour's drive from Hays, Kansas, the town where I attended college, some quail hunters stumbled across a dead lion. They did what you'd think most folks would do. They called the local wildlife officers. That particular cat turned out to be an exceedingly healthy, very large specimen, almost 200 pounds. It had been shot at close range, according to the findings of the officers, and someone, the shooter perhaps, had taken a trophy. One paw was missing. I haven't read anything more about it in several days. Probably the investigation is ongoing. Hays, Kansas, for what it's worth, is something like 300 miles east of the Rocky Mountains, so this cat was well away from what would be thought of as its normal habitat. I would mention that the state of Kansas is not unique for the lower 48. Other states that have no lions and seem like very non-lionish places, based on habitat, also have folks claiming that they've seen lions for years, but typically the state denies that lions are there. By the way, if you've read up on Alaska and lions, you'll find the same thing. Well-known Alaska writer Craig Medrit had a nice article about this a couple of years ago. I speak of Kansas because that's what I'm familiar with. During my childhood, my dad claimed to have seen mountain lions several times in our home county, despite the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks telling him that no, probably what he saw was a large bobcat or a feral dog. What started to change things is what I spoke about in today's introduction, the game camera. With the proliferation of hunters using game cams as a tool to scout areas they planned to hunt, a funny thing started to happen. Mountain lions started to be caught on camera. The same has been true in other states as well. In some cases, investigations found that particular cats were actually exotic pets that had been turned loose or escaped. But other cats were wild and written off as dispersing juveniles. What I have been calling a mountain lion is actually a cat of many names, including mountain lion, but also panther, puma, cougar, and catamount, to name a few. And despite talking about it being uncommon to mythical in many states, including Alaska, it's actually a common large predator across most of the western third of North America, as well as most of Central and South America. Fact is, they used to be found over pretty much all of the North American continent, but conflicts with humans drove them from much of the eastern and middle parts of our country. A lot of those conflicts were the result of farming and ranching, and lions were exterminated from a great deal of their historical range. One subspecies, the Florida panther, continues to survive, but at low numbers. The reason states like Kansas are seeing a few lions creeping back in is easy to understand. Most states have burgeoning, almost explosive numbers of white-tailed deer. In many parts of the lower 48, deer represent a mountain lion's number one prey species. While lions are predators and will eat a whole lot of other species, they are decidedly a large predator and do best when they are able to kill large animals to eat. According to the Mountain Lion Foundation, adult lions will kill and eat a deer-sized animal or larger every 10 to 14 days. States like Kansas have an overabundance of deer, with no real predators, except for man during the fall hunting seasons. It's easy to see a large predator discovering a fairly untapped food source and deciding that'd be a great place to live. With regards to Alaska, it doesn't work that way, at least not yet. I've read in a few places, including that Medrid article, that most of Alaska really doesn't present itself as a great place for a mountain lion to be. We don't have deer, at least not in places lions can get to, and our other ungulate species are spread out enough, as far as population densities, and harder to get based on size and location. The most credible stories of mountain lions being seen in Alaska have happened in the Panhandle, which is also where the only two to be killed in Alaska were taken. One was shot near Wrangell in 1989, and another was caught in a wolf snare near Petersburg in 1998. These are the only two documented accounts of mountain lions being killed in our state. Mountain lions are slender, agile, large members of the cat family, large to the tune of the fourth largest cat species in the world. They have a round head, erect ears, and a pinkish nose. Most of the body is some type of light brown to a gray, and the belly and undersides are white. The tail is perhaps 30 inches long, give or take a bit, and thick. Sizes can vary based on location, but adult males are normally 100 and a quarter to 220 pounds. Females are usually about two-thirds of that in weight. Adults are often 5 to 7 feet in length to include the tail. Really large ones can get over 200 pounds and be as long as 9 feet. I have heard mountain lions referred to as ambush predators. Think about cute, fuzzy kittens and house cats you have seen. Maybe picture messing with one of them using a flashlight or laser pointer to get it to chase the beam of light. Think about the different body motions you see as the cat stalks and readies itself to pounce on the light. Now, put those motions, much refined by the way, into the body of a cat that tops 100 pounds and depends on those very motions to survive. That's the mountain lion as a hunter. They commonly hunt during the night and during the in-between hours during dusk and dawn. They use a great deal of stealth to approach a prey species, and then a great deal of raw power to overpower and kill the animal. They like to target the back of the neck for a fatal bite. When the meal is a large one, say a deer or elk, they'll hide their kill and feed on it for a number of days. Lions are extremely solitary and normally only come together to mate. The female is the only one involved in the parenting. The females give birth to 1 to 6 cubs, though 2 is the common number. They are very dependent on the female for the first few months, the cubs that is, and finally begin to hunt on their own after a year or so. The young remain with the mom for up to 2 years. These dispersing 2- and 3-year-olds are the ones that biologists in some of the non-traditional lion states think are the ones being seen on game cams, as they move away from home and try to find their own home range. Home ranges, by the way, are quite large. Life expectancy in the wild is sometimes as long as 12 years or more, though less is probably more common. In captivity, they have lived for as long as 30 years. Ironically, as I was putting this episode together, another mountain lion story started showing up on Facebook. A jogger in Colorado, very much a lion state, was attacked by a lion last week. Even so, lion attacks are fairly uncommon. They tend to stay away from people. To illustrate this, in Colorado, 3 people have been killed and 16 injured by mountain lions since 1990. When you consider that Colorado has a lot of lions, and a lot of people who get outdoors and do stuff, those numbers are considered low. In the case of that runner last week, well, I'd have to say, he's not anyone I'd want to tangle with. If a lion attacks, you're supposed to fight back. They are attacking because they've decided you look as good as a deer, as far as a supper possibility. This fellow did fight back. He was injured with bites and scratches, hospitalized for a few days, and then released. The mountain lion? He choked it to death, literally. A necropsy showed that it was strangled, which is what he said he did to it. It wasn't a huge cat. It was estimated to be 1 year old and weighed 80 pounds. But really, who wants to fight any size of mountain lion? And who thinks they could choke one out? Well, this guy pulled it off. Alaska is in no danger of being overrun by mountain lions, or Sasquatches for that matter. Heck, we might not be in any imminent danger of having even just a few take up residence here and start calling Alaska home, which means those of us around Bristol Bay really don't have anything to worry about at all. That said, they are a mighty cool North American species and worth knowing about, in my humble opinion. No, we don't have to worry about lions. We'll have to settle for concerning ourselves with bears and wolves and moose. Oh my. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.